a minute. Just a quick announcement for the ladies. Remember, tomorrow, have your ladies' devotion. You'll have that up in the office tomorrow, in my office up in at 10 a.m. And so I'm sure you guys are looking forward to that. And enjoy yourself. Nisi had shared a little bit of her topic with me. And I think you're going to be in for a great and wonderful blessing. Praise the Lord. And so that's great this morning. So let's go ahead. I want us to open our Bibles up to Psalm 12 today. Psalm chapter 12, just real quick. And I'm just going to kind of rehash a few things as we get into our lesson today, our part four of the intro to the Bible. I'm going to watch my time today because I am not going to rush through this material, so that we go through it quite slowly, I should say, and so that we can absorb it as well. But I do want to touch on a few things that we see here in the Scripture. So you're in Psalm chapter 12. We're going to open it in prayer real quick, and then we'll get into this verse. And then I got several verses that will be on the screen behind me, Lord willing, it will be. Here as we move along today in our different topics. So let's bow our heads if we will. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Lord, we pray now for your continued direction. We pray for your mercy. Lord, we pray that you open up our hearts of understanding and our mind, dear God. Lord, we know that the Word of God is to be understood through the Holy Spirit and through the Word itself. Lord, I pray that we would adjust our hearts and our minds in questioning what the Word may say at any given time, and that we may simply trust and believe the Bible. Lord, let us not be the first to run to man's opinion or worse things than that, dear Father. Help us continue to trust wholeheartedly in the written Scriptures, in the Holy Scriptures, in the precious spoken Word of God, the oracles that you have given between these pages, Lord, that we know is the AV. Father, we love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm chapter 12, very familiar passage of Scripture, guys. We quote it quite often. There's one verse that we typically leave off, and we understand that what the Lord has done, it's the Lord's job to preserve and to purify His Word. And I want to make this this crystal clear. This is by way of introduction, guys. This is in between of what we taught last week. We're still on the foundations. We looked at the prophecy test, and we will be getting into the unity test here in just a moment. But as of right now, I just want to give a quick introduction on this particular thought and understand that there are particular jobs and duties that Christians and Bible believers have, and there are particular jobs and duties and responsibilities that God has, and we need not overlap them. Now, if we're honest with one another, as a church, as a society, we have been in danger of forsaking our job and then wanting to do God's job. Take salvation, for instance. Take soul winning, for instance. You know what our job to do in soul witness? Guys, if we would think about this on the simplest terms, our job to do in soul witnessing is to get off our ever-widening horizon and get out there and go. Okay? Now, I'm being pretty blunt. That's what our job is. Our job is to go and tell. Amen? Our job ain't to hoodwink or trick somebody into making a confession. Do you know who brings the increase? Holy Spirit of God. How does He do that? Through His Word. He doesn't do it outside of His Word, guys. He doesn't do it with bells and birds and, you know, and bees and sycamore trees and signs and wonders and all that nonsense. He does it through the preaching of His Word or the proclaiming of His Word. You don't have to have a three-point message with a poem to win someone to Christ. So we will just get back to the basics, guys, and understand that soul winning is witnessing for us. Our job is to plant. Amen? And our job is to water. It's God's job to bring the increase, not ours. So if we would stay off His turf and get back on ours, just maybe we would see more souls won to Christ. Amen? Okay. Same principle in the Word. It's the identical. Guys, there has been so many wasted years in many women's lives in writing books about the Word of God, most of which has corrected the Word of God, trying to keep the Word. It's not our job. Our job is to believe it. Our job, yes, is to protect it, but it's God's job to preserve it. It's God's job to purify it. That's His job, man. It's not ours, okay? Again, I do think the translation committees that are working to try to put this Bible into the hands of other languages, hats off to them, they're doing a great job. But when they try to come in and correct this Bible, all right, that's where they're making a mistake. And when they do that, guys, I'm going to make this plain. God is not involved in that. God is not going to be involved in something that's got dirt on it. He's not going to do that. See, there's some simple truths when it comes to the Word of God, to the Christian life, to soul winning. Man, if you just get back to the basics, just get back. You know, we don't want to call ourselves fundamentalists, you know, because that word's been tainted by the media, like everything else has. We say, well, we don't want to use the word fundamental. Let me tell you something. You don't exist without the fundamentals. The fundamentals of your body is your DNA. The fundamentals of your body is the building blocks of protein, which are amino acids. If you don't have those, you don't live. You know what the fundamentals of living is? Breathing with oxygen. Guess that, okay? That's all fundamental means. It just means the basics. It means the foundations. Guys, it's just getting back to simplicity. I've heard so many people preach so far above people's heads about this and that. They've done absolutely no good to a pulpit, amen? And what I'm trying to say is get back to the basics today. Quit trying to run to every 14 different languages to understand the Scriptures or 13 different translations to understand the Scriptures when you have something that has been promised to be purified and perfected right before you today. Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Let's stop there for just one second. I will give you a statement that my pastor gave me 20 plus years ago. Things that are different are not the same. Now I told you that we were going to get back to the basics, but I want to get into some deep science here just for a second. If you'll bear with me to get it, give me 60 seconds of your life, and I want to get into some real deep science. And you better have your pen and paper ready. All right, because you're going to want to take this down, because I'm telling you, if you don't get this the first time, you probably won't get anything. Okay, so pay attention real clearly. Here's some deep science for all of us. You ready? Apples and oranges are different. Wow. You get that down, David? I'm being a little cheeky, absolutely. But guys, things that are different are not the same. That's the simple truth. If the Word of God tells me I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, guess what? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But if something else says I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, those are different. Who's Him? I've read stories of where men have gotten saved, born again of the blood of Christ, from reading one leaf of the Bible. I know a national pastor that in the depths of Africa who found one leaf, and to this day I don't know which part it was, and I wish I did. But he pastored 12 years and planted multitudes of churches underneath trees and stuff in the bush of Africa, and the only thing he had was one leaf of the Holy Scriptures in English, mind you. He learned English so he could learn what he was reading. He had one leaf, front and back. Got saved off that leaf and preached for 12 years, okay, off one leaf. That's amazing, man. That is absolutely amazing. And I would love to know which leaf that was. In my mind, I think it's Isaiah 53, but that's just my mind, I think. So what I'm trying to tell you today, guys, is when we read things, the words of the Lord are pure words. If it's changed or altered or subtracted or added to, it is no longer pure. Therefore, it is no longer the Lord's words. Okay? Keep reading. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, we know that the Word of God is pure. We know that that it's as silver. The analogy is as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, we're going to get into that seven times and what that means to us a little later on in our lesson. Not today, but in a few weeks' time. But when you look at the purification process, here's where everybody wants to hang their head and go, oh, well, you know what? If it had to be purified, that means there was impurities in it. That means that something was, quote-unquote, wrong with it. Guys, the simple question is this in Psalm 12, verse 6. When the silversmith put the silver into the furnace, and he melted it, and he took the dross out of it, is there more silver? Was more silver produced inside that furnace? No, the exact same amount was. What went in is what came out. The only difference is, purified seven times, it was more clearly to be seen. That's the only difference. No more. There's no more silver. There was no more. There was not incorrect silver. It simply was easier to be seen and clearer to know. That's it. Verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation for 12 years. No, forever. Whose job is it to preserve the Word of God? God's. Okay? Whose job is it to purify His own Word? God's. It's not ours, guys. I don't care how many degrees you have. You can have more degrees than a thermometer today. You are not ever going to be smarter than God. Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our words are not His thoughts. Listen, they're His words. He will purify them for His people, for us to clearly understand them through the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm saying all that to say this. There's a verse that we love quoting, verse 6 and 7. But we miss the contrast of the context when we leave off verse 8. Notice the very next verse. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Every side. That doesn't matter if it's a hexagon, octagon, pentagon, or a square, or a triangle. Every side, the vilest men are walking. And what are they doing? They're being exalted through what? It's no mistake. God has made sure verse 8 is there for us today. It's not a coincidence that this verse follows verses 6 and 7, where the main topic is God's Word, okay? Him, His words are pure, Him purifying His words, and Him preserving His words, but then the vilest men are walking on every side. What does that teach us today? That means that wicked, the wicked men, the wicked souls are walking on every side of God's work in preservation and purity, trying their best to do what? To destroy His Word. It's from the very beginning. It's always been the attack on the Word of God. Now, we say when they are exalted. Men are exalted today through their pseudo-education. And they take what they've learned in man's schools and they try to add or subtract from the Word of God. My friend, I've got to ask this question to you. What part of the Holy Scripture today should we take out? Should we take out that you that call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved? No, we like that verse. What verses would you want to take out of the Holy Scriptures? I pray none. But then you got to ask yourself, who wants to take them out? Who wants to take the verse out of Acts chapter 8 that when that Ethiopian eunuch says, "See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And then Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And then he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then the chariot was commanded to be halt. And they too went down to the water and he baptized him. It's funny how the only portion of that scripture that your modern perversions want to take out is the one where the confession of Jesus Christ is the condition to be baptized. Who wants that verse out of there? Who's trying to do God's work in preserving and purifying His Word? Who's trying to do that? Well, the wicked men, vile men who have been exalted, who have exalted themselves, trying to exalt themselves above God. Now, we talked about this in Bible study yesterday in Zoom Bible study questions and answers. What was the fifth sin or whatever you want to call it, the fifth thing that good old Lucifer said that got him to boot out of the third heaven? I will be like the Most High. When evil men, when the wicked are exalted through their pseudo-education, okay, and try to attempt to do the work of God, you're doing the very thing that Lucifer said in the beginning he would do. I will be like the Most High. Guys, it's God's job to preserve the Word. It's God's job to purify the Word. It's God's job to keep His words pure. It is not ours. And shame on anyone. Shame on anyone that would ever say, a better translation is this. A better word should be here. That's the marks of a heretic. Amen? That's your introduction to the intro to the Bible part 4 today and why it is so important. Guys, at the end of the day, and this lesson is going to take us a month of Wednesdays to get through the entire lesson. But at the end of the day, if you're no closer to believing this word right here to be perfect and pure, and you still run back to other things, this lesson's done zero for you or me. It's done nothing for you. Again, guys, changes. I put a devotion out on Monday on teachability, on those that are teachable. And I'm going to tell you right now, the sure mark of someone who is unteachable is that there's no changes in their life. No changes. And guys, I'm not saying it's easy. Changes are not easy, especially the older we get. I know. I mean, on this side of the 40s, I'm holding on to the doorway with 50 trying to drag me through, and I got my nails clawed into the walls. And so it's harder to change now than it used to be in my 20s and my 30s. Boy, I think it's even more so necessary. I mean, I look at what Paul wrote when he was in his early 50s. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You've got to crucify yourself. And maybe the things that you've learned over the course of 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever, and say, you know what, I'm going to make the changes to glorify God, not myself. Amen? I've had people come to me and talk to me about this and that, about education, this and education and that. And the bottom line, guys, I can stand toe to toe with the educated as much. I got as many degrees, if not more than most. But I'm not relying on those degrees. That's a piece of paper stuck on a wall. I forgot, what was the big wrestler's name that got saved back in the day? Oh, what was his name? He got saved, came as one of us. Pastor Ellis had him in back in the 70s, man. I'm sorry, this years ago, but you would know his name if I could remember it. But he was a big professional wrestler way back in the 70s days, big old guy. Got saved, got born again, became an evangelist, went around and preached everything. Pastor Ellis had him in a couple of times, and he had all these awards and all these accolades and all these things that he had earned over the years and was recognized, and it was in his basement office, and I mean, it was all across, I mean, all these different things. And the house flooded one time. George was his name. His name would come, the rest of it would come to me in just a little bit. And they went to him and said, "Big George, man, what are you going to do? You've lost, my goodness, all of this is destroyed." You know what he said? He goes, "Just paper, man. Just paper and metal. That ain't nothing but earthly rewards. But, you know, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, you know. There ain't no floods up in heaven," he said. And so, I mean, when you stop and you think about that, guys, I'm all for education. Don't think that I'm anti-education. I believe to refuse an education is to be willingly ignorant, and that's just the greatest sin, is putting your dependency upon the education. Don't ever think that, okay? Like I said, I was in school for ages on end, serving residencies, all of this and that. I believe wholeheartedly in education. I believe in learning every day. Paul said give attention to reading, amen? I believe you should read, you should learn, and you should try to apply something new every single day. But the moment you take your education or your intelligence or your position or your pride or your money or whatever it may be, and you start putting it in front of this word, that's when you're going to feel the bill of verse 8 in Psalm chapter 12. That the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Guys, this word here is your lifeblood. This word here is precious. And guys, we are spoiled, slapped, rotten. And that's why we don't take it for what it's worth like we should in our life. Because we are a spoiled group of people in our society today. I read an article this morning. They're looking at about 300 million souls added to the church and churches in China. Communism rise and Christianity is rising even greater. Yeah. They can't meet like we are. We're worried about lockdowns and all this and that. They're shutdowns is what they have over there. Just here to tell you guys, I want to say this, and I know I spent 15 minutes on this introductory portion today, and I'm not going to go long today because of that, but I'm here to make the point today that our faith and dependency and our trust, if we're going to make a difference in this life, it's going to be through believing and adhering to and applying the Word of God, that it should be our sole, not final, sole authority in all faith and practice. So, we'll move along now out of Psalm 12, and you can read mostly from the screen this morning. We're looking first and foremost, as we're continuing in the foundations of the intro to the Bible, we're looking at the unity test. All right, so last week we looked at the prophecy test and how all the prophecies that were mentioned in the Old Testament, how they were fulfilled in the New Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unity test, and this is, again, this still ties back into what we're talking about in Psalm 12, but the unity test, what God begins in the book of Genesis, He ends in the book of Revelation. We see that in Genesis 1:1, we see it in Revelation 21:1, all right? We see it in Genesis 1, 27 and 28. We see it in Revelation 21, 9 and onward. Okay, so there is a unity test in the Holy Scriptures. We're not going to go over all of those this morning because that would, again, take a load of time. But there's a unity to the Holy Scripture. Now, I'll ask you this question here. We call, I don't have it in here, but one of the things that in years past, we used to refer to it as a chain test. All right, so you have a chain link. If I was to take one piece if I was to take one side of a chain, and Preston was to take the other side of the chain, and we were to pull it, and then we were just to lean back on one another, okay? And we're going to support, I hope we support one another. Maybe I'll get Davith, I don't know. But I mean, we're going to support one another. And, you know, and we're just going to sit there and hold one another. We can depend on one another. The strength is in those links as we hold that chain for dear life rather than fall backwards on the floor, yeah? What happens when you remove one of those links? You collapse, right? You have no more chain link. The chain has been broken. So the unity test is found in the Holy Scripture, how everything from Genesis to Revelation ties in one with another. Thompson's has what's called the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which is a great Bible that he has. It's a King James. You get a King James Bible, don't get me wrong. But he has references in there that link everything together. Scofield's has the same thing. Cambridge will have. I mean, they have these reference points. I'm not saying those are inspired, don't get me wrong. What I am saying is that let your Scripture answer the Scripture. That is the unity test of the Holy Scripture, of the Holy Word of God, how you can tie everything together. Now, guys, when you start going through and you start nicking things and taking this out and taking that out, you break the chain link. And when you break the chain link, you break the doctrine. When you break the doctrine, guys, you lose all hope in what you need inside of the teaching of the Word of God. Okay? So just think about that. There's a unity test, guys. There's a unity test. In that unity test, we find that the importance of the Bible is seen in what it does. We see that the Word is precious. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weaveth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him." Beloved, that point that we're making here that we need to understand, and I hope and pray today that you would develop in your heart and your mind, is that this Word is precious seed. It is precious, and it needs to be treated as such. It doesn't need to be treated as something that is just thrown down. It doesn't need to be treated as something that's, well, you know what, I'll try everything else out, then I'll go to the Scripture. It's precious seed. It's what brings salvation to souls. It's what changes our life. It's what will order your steps on a daily basis. It will correct you from doing the things that you're doing wrong, and it'll keep you doing the things that you're doing right. That's what the precious seed is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Guys, this Word, this Bible here has powers. It's reproof. It has eternality to it. It has comfort within it. It has inspiration. It's an objective. It's unifying. It's sufficient. Amen. But, you know, we've talked about nutritional deficits and things like that over the past few weeks. Not in Bible study, but, you know, elsewhere. What if you start taking words out and taking meaning, changing doctrines in the Word of God? You know what you start missing? You have a deficit inside the Word of God. And you know what it produces? It produces an unhealthy Christian or unhealthy believer, or even that, a false hope believer. Believing in baptismal regeneration or believing in something that is completely anti-doctrinal, that is not found in the Word of God at all. So what I'm saying is, guys, is we want the whole Scripture, all of it today. There's a unity test that ties this precious seed together. There's a poem, I don't know who the author was, but I found it. It says, "Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old. That can shatter and scatter my fears when I prayerfully look in this precious old book. My pleasures and treasures I see, my tokens of love from a Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This book's been my guide, 'tis a friend by my side. I will lighten and brighten my way, and each promise I find, Susan, gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. Guys, this word right here, this word, the word of God, is more precious than anything you're going to get on this side of glory. More precious to hold in your hand, to read, to learn, to apply the scriptures, to memorize. Amen. You know what I find it funny is some of the old preachers that turned their back on the AV and you guys know who I'm talking about. The guys are on television and whatnot, and they may have, you know, their ministry or their church has went the way of the perversions and whatnot. But you know, those old men of God begin to preach. Some of them having to preach because of sickness and old age, sitting on a stool. When they're not looking at their notes, and they start quoting scripture. You know what they quote? They quote that AV. I can't tell you how many times that we had our ministry in the States and in the nursing home that we'd go in there and we'd sing or we'd preach and you start quoting those scriptures. Those Alzheimer patients who were dead to the world 6 days a week, but for just one mere hour of the week, ears would perk up. They'd perk up the old hymns and they'd perk up to the reading that scripture. Those old saints where the Word of God was written upon the table of their heart. Amen. Guys, it is precious seed. It is precious seed in our lives. So we're still looking at the foundations today. I want us just to briefly this morning. I'm not going to go again. We'll go into a couple points here, then we'll be done. But I just want us to look at the structure and the divisions of the Bible, why we have or how we have what it is today, the structure and the divisions of the Bible, if we will. So the first thing that we find here, the word Bible comes from the word biblion. It's a scroll or a little book. It's defined as derived from the inner bark of a papyrus plant. And biblios, that is the first word you find in the Greek New Testament, which is in Matthew 1:1. It's the very first word that you have. So the word Bible is used to designate the collection of books of the Old and the New Testament. Now, during the first four centuries, these books, or the Bible, were called something different. They were called the Scriptures. We get that from Acts chapter 8, verse 32, and verse 35, and other places we'll look at. But the Bible says, in the place of the Scripture, which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb, like a lamb, dumb before his shearer. So he opened, opened he not his mouth. Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Now, again, this is one of the reasons right there, because where Philip is reading from is recorded in Acts chapter 8, and this is the first Gentile saved, who is this Ethiopian eunuch. One of my favorite, absolute favorite events in the Word of God, and I just quoted it here just a little bit ago, he's reading from Isaiah 53. We don't know where this Ethiopian eunuch got a hold of this portion of Scripture. For all we know, he spent a large sum of money. He was the eunuch of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. So, I mean, he had access to a large sum of money. Maybe somebody gave it to him. You know, again, my imagination likes to play little tricks. I like to see some Christian jump out from behind a tree as he's on his way and he gives him a gospel tract. But, you know, that tract's Isaiah 53. I'm just playing a little bit. I don't know. But I know he was reading it. Now, he wasn't reading an original writing, by the way. You know, he's reading a perfect copy of it. Why? Because it's God's job to preserve his word. The Bible says in Acts chapter... Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in all of your heart today that what Philip and that eunuch were reading in that chariot was handwritten by Isaiah? No. Are you kidding me? The most read chapter in all of the synagogues in the days of Christ and before that was Isaiah 53. Jesus Christ said, today Scripture has been fulfilled in thine ears, when he was quoted or when he read from Isaiah 53. Do you know what they were reading? They were reading a perfect copy of Isaiah 53, of this big long scroll. Obviously, it wasn't chapters, I know, but I'm just saying, it was a perfect copy. Philip, or the Holy Spirit says here, and Luke writes it down, that Philip was reading Scripture. Perfect copies. Why? Because it's God's job to preserve His Word. Not ours. Not yours, not mine, not the universities, not the churches. It's God's job. Amen? So we find there in Acts chapter 8, he says, the place of the Scriptures which he read was this. Philip opened his mouth and began to sing Scripture. So the Word of God was called Scriptures. Again, you know, just to make sure everybody understands what I'm talking about here, verse 36, when he asks, here's water, what does him need to be baptized? Verse 37 is the verse that your perversions like to remove, which says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38 is when he commanded the chariot to halt. Now you tell me right now, who on earth would like to remove verse 37? I'm going to tell you, the devil wants it removed. Because he wants you to stay lost so you can spend eternity in the hell's flame. Amen. And if that wasn't clear enough, who's at the root of attacking the Word of God, I don't know how to make it any clearer today. Amen? So the Word of God was called the Scripture. All right? See that in Acts chapter 8. We also see it in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 8 says, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen in faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Verse 22 says, but the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All right? So, of course, we know 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, guys, again, I gave you something that was passed on to me by our pastor. Things that are different are not the same. I know that's deep science. We got another one for you. All means all, and that's all means. Amen? That simple. The word all in the Greek means all. The word all in the Hebrew means all. The word all in the Aramaic, it means all. And the word all in English means all. It doesn't change. So all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. Amen? God gave it. So the Bible, as we call it today, this collection of Scripture was in the first four centuries was called just that, Scripture. It was called the Scriptures as well, or writings, if you will. Matthew 21:42 says, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, plural, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It is marvelous in our eyes. So we find also in Matthew 22, verse 29, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Now the Lord's rebuking them because these were those who were considered to be experts of the law, experts of the Scriptures, and yet he says, you err because you don't know the Scriptures. I've given it to you. I've preserved it. I've kept it for you. It's right here, but you're making a mistake because you don't know it. My dad and I were talking the other day. I called him early Sunday morning for his birthday. And he was putting his final touches on his lesson for church that morning, for Sunday school, for adult Sunday school class. And we were just kind of talking about whether or not people, when they hear the lessons, do they go home and study it out to see if they're so. Preachers and teachers spend a lot of time laboring in the Word of God. But I wonder sometimes, do we take it to heart? Do we really listen? Or are we just ticking a box off? Well, went to the Wednesday morning Bible study. Went to Wednesday evening church service. Went to Sunday morning church service. I don't know. I don't know your heart. You know, the Lord knows your heart. But I just wonder sometimes if, as the preacher preaches or the preacher teaches, are we absorbing as much as we can? Are we applying it unto knowledge? Are we applying it into our life unto practice so that it, the Word of God, not the preacher, will change us, will help us draw closer to the Lord? Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Okay? So, the Word of God, or as we call it, the Bible, was also called the Holy Scriptures. Romans chapter 1, verse 2 says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, for that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the deal. There was not a New Testament when Paul wrote that letter. It's his final letter. He writes it in about A.D. 66, somewhere along that line, just before he loses his head. At best, the book of Matthew may have been written, but that's not what he's referred to there in 2 Timothy 3. And the reason that's what he's not referred to, because he tells Timothy, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Those Holy Scriptures, that Old Testament, okay, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, what? Which is in Christ Jesus. Boy, I tell you, you know, when you look at Paul and Paul's preaching from the Scriptures, and we have an entire New Testament, we have a dispensation that we're in, my goodness, man, he's still preaching Jesus Christ from the Old Testament, amen. And he said they're able to do that. Why? Because they are holy, my friend, they're holy. They're referred to also as the oracles of God. Romans 3, verse 2 says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And let's speak of the nation of Israel, because that's where the Word of God came first. We know that also in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the pattern. That's the order that it went. Jesus Christ went to the Jew first. Matter of fact, His commandment, the four pillars of missions, we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It starts in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, that is the four pillars, and that was the order that it started in. It was built upon that foundation. It was built upon the prophets. It was built upon the apostles. It was built upon the whole foundation is Jesus Christ. And then it went into the churches, where the churches were given pastors and teachers, amen? And that we understand that today. And so we know that it was called the oracles of God going to Israel. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 concludes the very same thing. It says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat, amen? We could park there for quite a long time. But we're not going to. We're just trying to establish the fact that the Bible, as we know, this collection of books that God has ordained to be the inspired Word of God, we know have been called different things. Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures are writings. It's called the Scriptures. We know they're found in epistles as well. And lastly, we find, and then we'll be done this morning, it is called, and this is what's most important, it is called the Word of God. Mark 7, verse 13, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things ye do. This is probably, guys, not only one of the most damning scriptures that we find in the Word of God, it's one of the most profitable scriptures because it teaches us today that if we adhere, if we hold to the traditions of men, we are going to make the Word of God itself. Let me back up just a second. Remember, the Word of God is powerful. The Bible tells me that it's more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God is able to do, and yet we still possess the power to make it useless. Absolutely, positively useless. Through what? Traditions of men. When men begin to establish creeds, when men begin to misappropriate scriptures, remember, guys, God's not in that. He's not going to step up. You know, the Bible tells me who cannot lie. Now, we've heard that saying before. What are some things that God cannot do? He cannot lie. Yet the ESV changes that, who never lies. There's a difference between never lying, and that's a choice, and having an impossibility to lie. Lying is a sin, yeah? Lying is a transgression of what? Or sin. Lying is a sin, and a sin is defined as the transgression of what? God's law. So God, it's not that He never lies. He cannot lie. Why can He not lie? Because He's bound by His Word. God cannot step outside the bounds of His Word. And when it was done, when it was completed with the book of Revelation, seal up the sum, close the books thereof, there it is, done and dusted, God will remain confined in His holy Word. Period. It's that simple today. Okay? But we as mankind, we as human beings, when we develop our own little traditions, or we begin to misappropriate dispensations and who and what was for who and what it was and all this, when we do those things, the Word of God becomes dead letter. And I know that may sound a little harsh to you today. And you may sit there saying, no, wait a second, you said the Word of God is sharper and more power than the two-edged sword, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Pastor Ellis's favorite verse, mind you. And it is. It's for that very word we shall be judged at. It will separate the thoughts and intents of the heart, just like we heard about the judgment seat of Christ last week. But when we begin to put ourselves before, when the wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted, that becomes dead letter. That right there becomes useless. it becomes unfruitful. It's of none effect in your life. Through the hardness of your heart, through the searing of the conscience. That's why it is so important, guys, to stay fresh on the Word of God. To listen to this Word, to trust this Word above and beyond anything else in our life. Our feelings, our senses, our taste, touch, smell, and hear. This right here is the most important thing that you have in your days today. This right here, the Holy Scriptures. I look around in our churches today, I look around and what's going on in our world today, and the churches have become community centers in this country. They have. In the state, they become entertainment centers. They become babysitters. They become places of entertaining. I'm not saying across the board. I'm telling you, that's one of the problems that we're having in these last ages. Today, they're having line dancing classes in churches. They're having they're having all these different things in churches. Churches are hiring their buildings out to have all these different things that are going in there, except ever teaching the Word of God. They forsake the truth of the Word of God, the inspiration, the validity of it, and they set up their own creeds, and they dictate themselves according to their own ideas, their own feelings, and their own places. And you know what? The Word of God then has no effect on them and makes no changes in their life. So one of our areas that we can have for a checkup. Remember the old days where you had to pop your bonnet and take that big long metal thing out? It's called a dipstick. And you had to check your oil level. If it was real, real black, you knew you had something up. Well, I better change my oil. Today we have the computer screen that pops up and says, hey, 23 days, you got to get your car service, which I'm thankful at, to be honest with you. I'm not going to complain. But in the old days, you had to check that oil, make sure you had the level right. In the old days, before my time, they used to have a little guy that ran out in a white shirt and some trousers on. And he would check your oil while he was filling your tank up and have a conversation. Well, he probably had a cigarette lit, too, with all those fumes going on. And I'm putting a quart of oil in there. Topped you off. You're all good to go. And that was great. Service with a smile. Yeah? We need a spiritual checkup, guys. We need a spiritual checkup in our Christianity. We need to look back over the last nearly 4 weeks now of this new year and see how we've allowed the Word of God to change us. If it hasn't changed you at all, there's a problem. There's a problem. Salvation only comes, God, by the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What did I tell you in the very beginning today? Things that are different are not the same. If it's not the Word of God, there is no salvation. These people who have believed other things, who have adhere to something that's not true, who have taken side steps and side corners and cut this corner, cut that. When they've done these things, they remove this scripture, remove that scripture. I just want to believe in Jesus. Salvation cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, hearing comes in many forms. It comes through audible. It comes through reading. It could come through signing. Okay. Salvation comes by the Word of God. Why? Because it's God's job not only to purify it so that people can know it and be saved, to preserve it from this generation forever. So that every generation, every single generation still has to this day an opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why the Word's here. Still the best-selling book in all history is right here before me today. Best-selling book right there. But more copies of the AV 1611, more copies of the King James Bible sold than any other book in history. There's a reason for that. It works. Amen. So guys, when we look at an intro to the Bible, I know I went off notes and all this today, and that's fine. But I went where I felt God wanted us to go. We have Project Revival this year. We are looking to go more, go beyond being challenged, but to be changed. Now, I've looked back in history. I've looked back in my own life. I've looked back in the lives of others, and I've seen where others have taken on board certain things. It could be business. It could be strength. It could be sports. It could be the scriptures. And they've applied and made these changes in their life. And I've seen people who made no changes. And do you know what happened? They were left in the dust. Guys, we have to grow in our Christian life. And you're not going to grow outside of the Holy Scriptures. You're not going to grow outside of the Word of God. You're not going to grow without it. This is our lifeblood today. And this is why it is so important. And what I don't understand is when people are preached and they're taught the biblical truths of this right here, and then they see a group over here doing things that are anti-Scripture, that they still tie hands with it. They still go and hang out. Man, we believe COVID is contagious. Let me tell you what's contagious. Vileness is contagious. Wickedness is contagious. A disbelief in the Holy Scriptures, that's contagious. A misappropriation of the Word of God, that is contagious today. So, beloved, my challenge, my heart's desire for each one of us as believers today, when we look at learning what the Bible is here for and what it's about, why don't we be the influence to our community? Why don't we lock in, sink our heels down into the stirrups of the saddle, and let's let God make this place a shining light to the lost, but first and foremost, a renewed spirit in us, a renewed faith, and the purity and preservation of the Holy Scriptures today. Amen? Father, thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for the Bible you've given us. Thank you for the day that you've allowed us to have. I pray that you give us safety, Lord. You allow us to have a blessed afternoon. Bring us back tonight, Lord, for our evening service. Bless us in a great and mighty way. And Lord, we'll give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus Christ's name, we do ask for these things. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much, guys. And we shall see you back here tonight at 6 p.m. for our midweek service. God bless you now.